say thanks for the things you have done for me. Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me live my life, let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood he has saved me. With his power just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
I have a Bible this morning. Turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. If you're physically able this morning, let's all stand together as we read the scriptures. There's actually an outline this morning in your bulletin. If you guys want to take that out, it might help you follow along better with the message this morning so we can stay engaged a little bit. We got some props up here. I think we're going to have fun with them. It's always funner when we do different things. I just like doing different things. Some people just, they don't like changing. They don't do the same thing day after day, week after week. I like to switch it up and do different things. We're going to do some fun things today. Got some hot sauce on the table over here. How many of you guys are hot sauce people? That's good. Some people, it's like everywhere I go with them to eat, they're like, is there hot sauce? I'm like, we're eating ice cream, you know, calm down. We're going to have a good time this morning, and I'm so excited to deliver this message, communicate this truth from God's word in John chapter 21. The Bible says in verse number 10, if you can take out your Bible or an app or something like that, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. In all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Now, I love this this passage as far as it deals with when they caught a lot of fish. Don't happen two different times. And sometimes we think, we get confused. with the original calling of the apostles when this happened, but this was a second time at the end of the life of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but it says specifically how many fish they caught. It was 153. And in my mind, I'm thinking like 153 fish. Like, are these like little fishies, or we got like a bunch of big old fishes? I mean, I don't know. Like, my mind's kind of wondering, thinking about it, but it says it was 153 fish. Regardless of how big they were, that is a lot of fish to catch. The Bible says, where are we at? I think we're going to pick up verse number 13, where we were at. Verse 12, rather. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. We'll read verse number 17 in a minute. But before you tune out the passage, okay, this is not going to be a message today about do you love Jesus, okay? I just want to throw that out there. I know sometimes we hear these passages time after time again. We're going to kind of look a little deeper and see some things in here. What we're going to do, we're going to do something a little different this morning too. We're going to kind of show a story of what happened, and then we're going to bring home some applications in the closing part of the message. Verse number 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily. Verily, verily, it just means truly, truly. If you have a red letter Bible or your app, it's red letters. That means Jesus is speaking. He's saying this like, truly, truly, this is what's going to happen. That's really all verily, verily means. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken thus, he saith unto him, follow me. Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, I ask you that you would work in our hearts. God, that you would do in us whatever it is you want us to do. And God, from this story in John chapter number 21, God, there would bring some applications, Lord, where we could apply to our lives. And that we wouldn't just come here and sit through another message, but God, that your words, we would receive your words truly like they are the words of God. And Lord, that you would change us the way that your word says that you want to change us. Ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Who in here likes to eat? Like to eat? Who in here loves to eat? Okay, good. Just about as many hands went up. Amen. Love to eat. I don't know how many of you guys went to the state fair. Any of you guys go to the state fair? State Fair, great. State Fair, awesome. Okay, when I think of State Fair, some of you guys, State Fair, you guys think of heat. And goodness gracious, it was hot. Some of you guys think of rides. Okay, you guys can have all your rides. When I think of State Fair, I think of food. I was at the State Fair with some friends yesterday, and we went in one of the buildings. It's so hot, you want to try to stay in those buildings because you can only make it so long outside, and you don't want to buy those water bottles that are like $13 or whatever, and they spray. It's just not worth it. So you stay in the buildings, you know, you kind of work at. And we went into a building. There was a big sign, cinnamon rolls. Yeah, that whistle, that's what I was thinking too. Cinnamon rolls. And you can get a cinnamon roll for, I think it was like $5 or something, or $4. Or you can get a cinnamon roll with cream cheese on it. And I was with some healthy people, you know, people that are always like watching what they're eating and everything. And I was with my friend Ernie. Some of you guys know Ernie in here. This is Ernie. And Ernie works out a lot. And he was like, should I get a cinnamon roll? I'm like, dude, we're at the fair. You are getting a cinnamon roll. Like, there's like no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You are eating. You're going to enjoy yourself today, okay? So he gets a cinnamon roll. And we're eating the cinnamon roll. And Ernie looks at me and says, this is one of the best things I've ever had in my entire life. And I said, you are exactly right. I love to eat. I love food. And in John chapter 21, what Jesus is going to do is he's going to have a meal with some of his apostles. And at this meal, he's going to teach them some things that they never expected to learn. He's going to teach them some things in an inopportune time, but he's going to try to communicate some truth to them around some food. In John 21, in the story here, there are seven different apostles. They're fishing at the Sea of Galilee, and I have some pictures of the Sea of Galilee. It's a very beautiful place. You see, in the Sea of Galilee, when you go fishing, you fish at night, okay? The reason why you'd fish at night in the Sea of Galilee is because it's in a very hot region. So what would happen is that during the daytime, the fish would go down into the deep. At night, they would go to the surface. So what these fishermen would do is they would fish at night when all the fish were at the surface, and they would catch their fish for the day. They would go in the morning, and then they would have food, and they could sell it and do different things like that. This account ends in John chapter 21. There are four different books called the Gospels that are all about Jesus, okay? The reason why they're called Gospels is because the word gospel means good news. The message of Jesus is good news to us because we need Christ. And whatever you're going through in your life, I promise you this, whether you believe it or not, Jesus wants to help you right where you are. So there are four books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're called the Gospels. Okay, they're all about the life of Jesus. Now, really, the whole Bible's all about him, but those books are specifically about his day-in, day-out life, how he did things, the miracles he did. And John 21, chapter 21, is the last chapter in John, so it would be at the end of his life. It really makes sense. So here we are, John 21. It's at the end of, we're at the end of Jesus' life here, as far as he's about to be ascended back up into heaven. And what he's going to do here is he's going to show himself alive to his apostles for the third time. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't really like fishing a whole lot. Okay, how many of you guys have ever fished before? Has there fished before? Okay, cool. Last summer, I went to South Carolina, and I went fishing with my cousin, and my cousin, his name is Bryson, and Bryson is did I miss it on here? Okay, we'll get there in just a minute. But I went fishing with my cousin Bryson. I'm going to tell you some more about that in just a minute. But I didn't catch I caught one fish, okay? I went fishing for like 2 hours, and I caught one fish. It was the most frustrating thing I'd ever experienced. And I got a 10-year-old kid next to me, and I'm going to show you a picture of something he caught. And you hunters out here are going to start drooling, and that's all you're going to remember this morning, but that's okay. He caught all these fish, and I'm sitting here like upset with him, and I'm impatient. I'm getting all upset because I didn't catch anything. Okay, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna illustrate this morning, and I have a couple guys. I want Jeremy to come up here. I want Preston to come up here, and I need one more volunteer. You guys want to come up here and grab these fishing poles? One more, Brian, come on up here. That's what you guys do. I want you guys to come up here, sit in these seats. I want you to grab these fishing poles. Okay. I didn't put any lines on them for a reason. I can just picture they're throwing it out and like catches like a lady's dress and yeah. No bueno, okay? Or an earring or something, and then the hospice, not good. Okay, so you guys have a seat right there. See these apostles, okay, they're sitting here fishing. They've been fishing all night. You guys look good. Thanks for helping me, guys. They've been fishing all night. They're sitting here. They're probably bored like these guys look up here. I just started the message for crying out loud. Can you at least smile or something? They're sitting there all night. And we need to understand what's going on with these lives, what's going on with their life, okay? So as an introduction, we have to understand this. One, they needed to eat. Some people would say, oh, they were running away from Jesus. They weren't, okay? Let's think about this. They had to eat. They were going back to what their occupation was. They had to provide for their family. So what do? They go fishing. Now, some people would say, oh, they were running from Jesus. Well, if that's the case, then how come when Jesus appeared in just a few verses later from the beginning, Peter got out of the boat and he didn't run on the water, but he swam to Jesus because he wanted to get close to him. These men, they were hungry. And when you're hungry, you're not very happy. They had been fishing all night and they hadn't caught anything, so they were disappointed. They had been fishing the entire night. They caught anything. I told you guys about my cousin Bryson. Here's a picture of a buck he caught, a 10-point this past hunting season. But on the way when we were going out fishing, he's telling me all about fishing. Like in my version of fishing is you take a fishing pole, and I'm just a city boy, and you put a worm at the end of it, you throw it in the water, and you eat catfish for dinner. You know, like that's what I think about fishing. But he's telling me about all these different rods and all these different reels and all these different baits for this type of fish and that type of fish, and we're going through. And then I throw my fishing pole, the line in there, and he's like, no, that's not how you do it. I'm like, what do you mean that's not how you do it? He said, okay, you got to spin it in a little bit, and then you got to pause for a moment. Then you got to spin it a little bit more, and you got to pause for a moment. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, dude, you're 10 years old. Like, don't talk to me like this. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, just watch. And here he is. He's catching fish like crazy. If you'd have listened to me, Nate, then you'd have been catching fish too. And I'm like, shut up, dude. You know? And maybe some of you guys have had some fishing experiences like me, where you've tried to catch something and you've sat there and you sat there and you sat there and you didn't catch anything. Some of you are smiling at me because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it leaves you to a place of disappointment. These guys had fished all night. All night. And they're disappointed. Well, obviously, if they've been fishing all night, they haven't caught anything, they're tired. In the Bible times, fishing was physical work. Fishing was tough. They had these big nets, okay? It's not like they're sitting there holding a pole like these guys over here. I mean, they got these big nets, and it's a physical, demanding thing. So let's think about this. They're hungry, they're disappointed, and they're tired. That's like a perfect storm for somebody to go off on somebody. That's like something I do not want to be in my life. Hungry, tired, disappointed. They're grumpy. They're probably upset. But it's very interesting that God saw them in this unlikely situation and he wanted to teach them something. I found that when man sees problems, God sees possibilities. When man sees pain, God sees potential. When man sees mistakes, God sees the making of a miracle. See, in this unlikely moment, what Jesus is going to do, he's going to take these men from the boat and he's going to take them to a place where they're eating to the table. He's going to teach them lessons that they've never heard before. He's going to teach them some things that they needed to learn. And Jesus was going to use a time in their lives when they weren't ready for it. You know, I found this, that sometimes God wants to work in our hearts when we're not prepared for it. Sometimes, not right now, God, I'm doing this, and God says, no, right now. God, you don't understand, right now, I'm at a transition in my life. God says, hey, when you're in your worst situation, that's when I want to work the miracle. When this problem is going on, that's when I can work and do something great. You see, it's a problem for you. Really, it's just a possibility for me to show my work in your heart and your life. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah 61, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Life is filled with disappointments. Life is filled with problems. Life is filled with heartaches. And honestly, life stinks sometimes. We have things that we expect will happen and they don't happen. We work, 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 work. We work on this relationship. We hope, we try to mend this. And it doesn't work out. And this is a place where we often find ourselves in life. And what we do is we just give up. Emotionally, we're drained. Physically, we're tired. But this is what Jesus did when these men were in a state of emotionally being drained, tired, hungry. He calls these men to the shore. This is what Jesus told them before he called them over. The Bible says he appeared to them and they didn't even know who it was. And they had caught nothing. And Jesus said, hey, cast your nets on the other side of the ship. Now, Luke chapter 5, it had happened before, but it happened on the original calling. It's very interesting. They didn't even know who Jesus was. They couldn't even recognize him because he was far away on the shore. But they just obeyed instinctively. I don't know why. I look at it. I'm not exactly sure why they did it. But they just did it, and it worked. And they caught a bunch of fish. The Bible says in John 21, verse 8, they were 300 feet. They were 100 yards from the shore. And Jesus told them this. He said, I want you to come and dine. He says, hey guys, I want you to come over here and I want you to dine. We're going to illustrate this. So they're over here fishing. They're tired. They're disappointed. They're hungry. And Jesus says, hey, I want you guys to come over here. Have some food ready for you. The Bible says he had bread, he had fish ready for them. Peter's crazy. Peter jumped out of the boat and just swam. Like, dude, you have a boat, you don't need to get in the water, bro. You know, Peter jumped out of the boat and he like swam over there. Like, now he's got to be all cold and warm himself up. And I'm just thinking, that's an awkward situation, Peter. Why'd you have to do all that? The Bible says he didn't have a whole lot of clothes on in this text. I'm like, Peter, what's going on here? So guys, I want you to put your fishing poles down. You didn't catch anything, did you, Brian? You're looking kind of tired. Put your fishing pole down. Would you guys come over here and grab a seat at the table? Grab a seat at the table. Got this hot sauce here. Tapatio. How do you say that, Brian? How do you say it?
Tapatio.
That's what it is right there, okay? You guys have a seat right there at the table. He says, come to shore. He says, come to shore. And they all sit down at this table. And they're going to eat. This would be equivalent to you're on the lake fishing. You're at Lake Berryessa or you're at some lake fishing. And somebody's like, hey, come to the shore. I got a barbecue ready for you. That's what's equivalent to in 2014. Hey, come to the shore. I got a barbecue ready for you. They get to the shore, and then they share a meal with Jesus. And he says this, look, I got some fish and stuff already, but I want you guys to put what you caught on here as well. They're having this meal with Jesus, and the Bible says that they didn't ask him who it was because they knew who it was. It's so cool. In John chapter 21, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Can you see that conversation maybe being a little bit awkward? Like maybe you have like Nathaniel, he's one of the apostles there looking over at Thomas. Nathaniel's like, should I ask him? Thomas's like, no, don't do it. Don't ask him, like, we already know. Thomas is like, you know, doubting Thomas. Thomas is like, I gotta make sure. Nathaniel's like, no, don't do that. That's gonna be awkward. And they're having this maybe awkward meal. I don't know if they're at a table or if they're around some rocks, but whatever they're doing, they're having a meal. And Jesus broke the silence. Jesus asked Peter in John 21, verse 15, he said, do you love me? Now, we look at this passage, and this is what we always think. We think love, it's love, it's all the same, right? It's not. Because when we look at the Greek, and I'm not trying to be all weird on you, but this is really important. I really hope you understand this passage. When we look at the Greek, what Jesus said is Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And he used the word agape. Okay. In the Bible, there are four different types of love. Okay, first of all, you have the phileo love, which a phileo love, that would be a close friendship. You have the storge love, which would be a family love, a bond amongst the family. You have an eros love, which would be a physical, sensual love between a husband and a wife. By the way, biblically, that is between a man and a woman, okay, that are married, okay? Anything outside of that, that's dangerous because that's sin, and you say, it's not a big deal. This is what happens when a relationship says, oh, well, we're going to try some things out, and, you know, we have to try it out so we can figure it out because we don't know if it's going to work out, okay? This is why that's dangerous because we have God's blessing on a relationship when it's done God's way. That's his umbrella. When we do it our way, we take ourselves out of the umbrella of God's blessing, and that is a scary, scary place to be at. But we have those four types of love. The two you see in the Bible mostly are agape love and phileo love. Agape love is the love that God has for us. It's an unconditional love. Phileo love is different than agape love. It would be kind of like this, to simplify it. Phileo would be, I love you because of. Agape would be, I love you in spite of. Phileo would be, I love you because of. Agape would be, I love you in spite of. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Agape. This is Peter's response. I love you, phileo. Do you see the difference? That's big. There's a difference between agape and phileo. See, not too long before this, Peter had denied Jesus three times. If you've been in church for a while, you know the story. Peter's still recovering from this emotionally. You see, Peter was somebody that was very prideful in the fact that he did all the right things. And the fact that he did things, and every time he did things, he thought that he was the big deal. For example, he said that he loved Jesus more than all the other apostles. Peter was somebody that he thought he was going to be okay. Though everybody deny you Jesus, I never will. And guess what happens? He falls. I found sometimes those that think they're the most spiritual tend to be the ones that fall first. Those that think they have it all together, those that think they're untouchable, are the ones that better be careful because Paul says, take heed lest ye fall. And sometimes we have to be careful not to be prideful about our obedience to God. It's a dangerous thing when because of our obedience we get prideful. And Peter had denied Jesus three times. He had fallen, he had messed up, and he was emotionally recovering from this. And what we see in John chapter 21 is we see a humble Peter. We see a Peter We see a Peter that came to Jesus and said, hey, man, I really don't love you. And it's interesting. Jesus didn't rip Peter's face off. Jesus didn't give him a stern rebuke and say, what are you doing? Jesus accepted the answer. And the Bible says he asked him the same thing a second time. Okay, same thing. Jesus says, do you love me agape? Peter said, I love you phileo. Then the third time happened, and this is what happened. Jesus now switched from saying, do you love me agape, to saying this. Do you love me phileo? Now, the Bible says that Peter was grieved because Peter knew what Jesus was telling him. Peter knew that Jesus knew exactly his heart, and Peter knew that he wasn't as spiritual as he thought he was. And Jesus says, hey, you don't love me agape. You love me phileo. You see, Peter at that point didn't look at himself as a spiritual giant. Peter at that time didn't look at himself as a spiritual church member. He didn't think he had it all together. His pride was shattered. But before we get into the application aspect of this message, at the end of each time, this is what Jesus said. He said, I want you to feed my lambs. What Jesus is making a statement of is a statement of the potential that he saw in Peter. He's saying, look, Peter, you are not a failure. You have failed, but you're not a failure. But this is what I want you to feed my lambs. It's really a prophetical, which all that just means is a foretelling of something that was going to come. Peter, one day you're going to be a leader in the church. I know you're a failure. I know you messed up. Like, Peter, I know who you are. I'm Jesus. Like, I'm God. I know you. This is what you're going to do. You are going to feed my lambs, and you're going to be one of the greatest leaders in church history. It's going to happen. And why Peter saw himself as, I'm nobody, Jesus said, no. Let me tell you this. You are going to feed my lambs. Now, what can we get from this story? What can we learn from the apostles' encounter with John chapter 21 as they sit around the table? In fact, guys, we're done with you. You guys can have a seat. Let's give a round of applause. They did a fantastic job up there. Good job, guys. Good job up there. So what can we learn from this, really? What can we learn from some apostles, quickly in the last about 7 minutes or so, some apostles that were fishing, that Jesus says, okay, you're fishing, now come over here, and they have this encounter with Jesus at the table. What can we learn? We can learn this. First of all, Jesus sees potential in us. Jesus sees potential in us. Jesus just gave Peter a little insight into a much bigger picture. A picture that God was going to use, a picture that God was going to use Peter to advance the gospel in a great way. Did you know this? That Jesus sees potential in you. Did you know that? We're going to say this together, okay? I want us to say this in just a minute. Jesus sees potential in me. Jesus sees potential in me, okay? You ready? Let's all say that together. Ready? Jesus sees potential in me. Ladies, say it, ladies. Ready? Jesus. All right, men, here we go, ready? Jesus sees potential in me. Okay, one more time together. I want us to say it like we mean it. Think about it and say it like you mean it. Are you ready? Jesus sees potential in me. You know, Jesus saw potential in Peter that Peter didn't see in himself. Jesus saw potential in Peter that Peter didn't see himself. Some of you are satisfied with where you are spiritually. And in your mind, you've decided, I'm not doing anything more. And you've tuned your heart out to the work of God in your life. And this is what Jesus says. That's where you see yourself, but I don't see you there. I see potential in you. The Bible's filled with people that they were failures. They messed up. They had come to a place where spiritually they were stagnant. And they said, you know what? This is where I am. Jesus said, no, I see more than that. King David. People saw him as nothing more than just a little brother, but God saw him as a king. Mary was just a teenage girl. But God saw her as the mother of the Messiah. Joseph was a young adult in a prison cell at the bottom. But Jesus saw him as second in command of all of Egypt. Moses was a stuttering murderer. A stuttering murderer. And God said, no, you're going to lead millions of people out of bondage into freedom. A stuttering murderer? Rahab was a prostitute. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. But God was going to use her so his work could be advanced in the city of Jericho. The apostles were ordinary men. Acts 4 verse 12 says when people saw that they were just unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They said, the apostles? Those guys are just dumb fishermen. They don't know anything. You know what it is? It's Jesus sees the potential in you that you don't see. maybe we should get a glimpse of not where we are, but of where God wants to take us if we'll allow him to. Some of you have been given amazing talents and gifts. Some of you are very talented. I think of a young adult right now, and he's doing so well right now. He's been given some amazing talents and gifts. Oh my goodness, there's all over him, and he doesn't see it. Thank God he doesn't see it, because he might be a little prideful. But he's been given these amazing talents and gifts, and he's growing in his leadership. He's doing some things, and I'm just marveling because he's using what God has given him. You know, God just might want you to use your gifts for him. Maybe. Maybe. Just, you may be able to, like, do something that, like, you didn't think you could do, and you might actually like serving God. Like, God's not going to make you do something that you, like, hate. You know, sometimes we think that, if I serve God, you know, God's given us gifts that we enjoy so we can use for his gospel being furthered. Number two, trusting Jesus comes from knowing Jesus. Trusting Jesus comes from knowing Jesus. Why did the men trust him enough? The Bible says they didn't ask who he was. They knew who he was, though. Why were they comfortable enough with him to sit down with him and eat with him? Why? Why did they trust him enough to share a meal? Why did they trust him enough to listen to him? I'll tell you why. It's because they knew him. When they saw Jesus and they knew it was him, they trusted him, because they knew he wasn't going to lead them astray. Some of us have a hard time trusting Jesus because we don't really know Jesus. We come to church 1 hour a week, and we get our Jesus for the week. It's a no wonder we don't trust him. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. As we hear the word of God, as we read the word of God, as we meditate on the word of God, you know what's going to happen? Your faith is going to grow. It's going to grow. And when you realize that Jesus, like, he's pretty cool. Like, Jesus, when you get to know him, you're like, yeah, I can trust him. He's the creator of the world. It's like God loves us so much that he's going to send his son, but then he's going to, like, make our lives miserable if we trust him. Like, there's a disconnect there. Trusting Jesus comes from knowing Jesus. Number three. Jesus takes you as you are, but he won't leave you that way. Jesus takes you as you are, but won't leave you that way. I don't know everybody I'm speaking to. I wish I knew you personally. I wish I knew you really well. I'm thankful for the relationships I have with so many of you in here. But I do know this, that whatever you're going through, if you'll come to Jesus in John 6:37, he promises you that he will not cast you out. Jesus loves everybody. There were two times in the Bible, I think of one, a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man, and he was so spiritual, I guess you could say. And Nicodemus, he obeyed all these rules. He did a lot of stuff. But he came to Jesus at night because he didn't really have a relationship with God. He had never accepted Christ as Savior, never put his trust in him. And he came to Jesus by night. He says, Jesus, what can I do? What can I do to go to heaven? Jesus says, you must be born again. Think of another story. A lady on the other end of the spectrum. She had several husbands, lived an immoral life, did several ungodly things. And Jesus came to her. And Jesus said, hey, I will give you living water and you'll never thirst again. You see, I found this. The religious people and the unreligious people both need Jesus. And if we'll just come to Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus will in no wise cast you out. Some of you are like, man, I can't accept Christ as my Savior. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Look, just come to him and he won't leave you that way. Number four, Jesus can do more with your life than you can. Jesus can do more with your life than you can. At some point, it clicked for Peter. At some point, Peter just let go and he gave it all to Jesus. The one that's denying Jesus, the one that's going through all this stuff, that is not the Peter we see in the book of Acts. By the way, I don't have time to talk about it, but the Jesus gave some more prophecy. I just read in verses 19 and 20. Jesus was prophesying how Peter would die, how Peter would be girded, and what history tells us that Peter was crucified upside down. His faith was so strong, it was unmovable. He was willing to die for his faith. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Somewhere along the line, it clicked. Like, he got it. That this is for real. Like, this is not just a Sunday morning only thing. That this is not just a, I'm just going through the motions. This is not just a, oh yeah, well, I'm here because it's really tough for me to come. It's a little bit cold this morning. Oh man, you know, I don't really know. No, this became Peter's life. And God took it. And God took his small, weak life, and he transformed it into something great. And sometimes in our lives, I wonder what would happen if people in this church, if it would just click, if they would just get it. Sometimes I'm praying, man, when I pray to God, I'm just honest with him. Man, when I pray, you know, sometimes you hear people pray and you're like, they're so spiritual. How do they pray like that? That's not me. Just like, God, what can I say? Like, I don't understand why these people don't get it. Like our church can be used in such a greater way if the people would just realize that this is so big, that this is so important. Sometimes we lose a wonder of it all. Sometimes we used to have it, but we lose it. And as Jesus is at the table with those guys, and Jesus has said, hey, Peter, feed my lambs. Peter is going to go on and change the world through the power of the Holy Spirit because somewhere along the line, it clicked. Today, why don't you just give Jesus a chance? You see, he sees the potential in you. I promise, if you'll get to know him, you'll trust him. Now, it may not be a bad thing to go to more than just one service a week. If you simply come as you are, he'll change you. And I can promise you this. Jesus will do more with your life than you ever can if you'll just give your life to him. Let's pray and talk to him right now in this moment.